Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about Holy Scriptures, and we're talking about how we go into bondage generation after generation, and how we come back out of bondage generation after generation, and what is that bondage? What is the nature of that bondage? Because if you do not understand the nature of that bondage, no matter where we put you, no matter where you go, no matter what happens, you will go back into bondage. You will take your bondage with you. Most of the bondage that you're in is a bondage of the mind and of the heart and of the soul. And if you are in bondage in your mind and your heart and your soul, no matter where you go, you will go back into bondage. You will go back like a pig to the mire and a dog to the vomit. You will return. You will go that way because you have not changed within. Until men change, the governments that they create for themselves will not change. They will keep creating the same governments. We see Moses taking the people out of Egypt, and before they're out hardly any time whatsoever, they're on their way back in with a golden calf. The golden calf was a common purse of wealth. It was a central bank. That was the way they stored gold in what was called a reserve fund. And we've talked about that many times before, most people. And yeah, I know I repeat myself sometimes on these shows, but you need to be reminded of these things because you don't hear this truth from almost anybody else. The golden calf was not a superstitious thing where they bowed down and said, "Oh, golden calf, oh, great golden divine image of a calf." You know, that's not what graven image meant. Your institutions are graven images. They are what you make to supplant creation and the law of creation and the law of nature and nature's God. When my father was an attorney, when he first became an attorney, he spoke in front of the Bar Association on the natural law. The natural law is God's law. It's divine law. The law of nature and nature's God. That's what they mean by jus naturale. What is naturally law? It's not the, you know, dog eat dog, law of nature, survival of the fittest, jungle, all that stuff, although that's a part of it. The natural law is what law exists by the nature of creation. It's not legatus. It's jus juris. It's what is just, right, and fair by nature. Legatus is what is just, right, and fair by contract. Those are two Latin words, both translated into law in Black's Law Dictionary. Lex legis, legatus, all same word. Just, that's the way the Romans did it. They changed, depending on the syntax in the sentence, they would change the word. But it means to bind, and you are bound by contract. And today, Americans have contract with America, all kinds of contracts, not just the Constitution, but all kinds of contracts with corporate entities where you can actually be a ball player and be sold from Los Angeles to New York, and you tell me you're not a slave. You can break your contract, but it's going to cost you. You can buy your freedom with what it will cost you. Or you can be sold from L.A. to New York. No matter where you go, you are in bondage. If you look up master-slave laws in Clark's summary of U.S. American law, I mean, if you look up the word employee, I think it's employer employment, just look under employee in the index. It will say, see master-slave, because all your employee laws are master-slave laws. From where? From Rome. Actually, from Rome. These were deals where there was a tax. on slavery, so that if you dumped your slaves on the in the public streets when you had no more use for them, that they had a fund to take care of them. We call it unemployment today. That's based on those laws. Based on those same laws and attempts of dealing with master-slave. You see, you have a federal employee identification number. You call it your Social Security number, but that's your federal employee identification. That's an official title. So when you leave Burger King and go work for McDonald's, you're still a federal employee. The only one who can hire you now is somebody with a federal employer identification number. And if you were reading in the Bible, you would see that written down as your taskmaster. That's who you work for, your taskmaster of the federal government, because you're an employee of the federal government. You are all employees of the federal government. Income tax is only for employees of the federal government. And I've actually seen people go to jail, lawyers go to jail, because they read in the codes and they say, oh, well, this tax is only for federal employees, and I'm not a federal employee. I work for Burger King or whatever he works for. I'm self-employed. You got a Social Security number, you're a federal employee. No matter who you work for, you're working for a federal employee. When you work 2 hours in the morning for that federal employer, that guy with a federal employer identification number, everything you do, all the value of what you do will be bundled up in a check and sent to the federal government. Not to pay for goods and services, but to pay the interest on debt. Why did they do it that way? Because now you're bound by debt. If you really understood the Bible and the message of the Bible, you wouldn't have fallen for this. You don't really understand because your ministers don't really understand, and they don't understand because they have been lied to and they have received the lie and accepted the lie because they were not really in love with the truth. They were in love with being a minister. Grossly deceived. They don't understand that they're back in the bondage of Egypt, yet in the bondage of Egypt, 20% of everything you did had to go to the government. Isn't that what it is like in Australia and Canada and England and New England and Texas and everywhere else? You're back. You're all back in the bondage of Egypt. You're the dogs that have returned to the vomit and the pigs to the mire. Get it. Accept it. Write it down. Pay your tally of bricks. Find out why you were seduced into such an abomination. Such a Babylonian abomination. Don't say, I'm going to get out of the system. Find out how much of the system is in you. You'll just be a Dathan outside, a Korah outside. You're not in love with the fact that you're in bondage. Okay, I understand that. That's a disappointment. Get over it. How did you get there? It wasn't because of what they did. It's because of what you did. It's because of what you did, what was in you. The only way out is forgiveness and giving. That's right. You have to forgive all that they owe you. You have to not want their benefits anymore. And you have to set the table of the Lord so that you don't need their benefits. And you have to do it as much for your neighbor as you do it for yourself. In other words, you have to come together and start caring for one another through faith, hope, and charity. That's what John the Baptist was saying. Isn't that what he was saying? Get baptized and they want to know, how does this work? I said, well, easy. Your neighbor has a need. And you have surplus, help your neighbor out. You have two coats, he has none, share your coat. You have extra food, he is without food, you have some work for him to do and he has no job. Whatever it is, start taking care of one another. You can't do that without coming together. You can't be a Christian unless you want to come together. And if you're just thinking about your congregation that's coming together, your little groupie club, then you're not thinking kingdom. So this is really simple. This is what Moses was teaching the people, how to come together and take care of one another when there was, you know, fire and brimstone and plagues and all kinds of difficulties. And you've got those difficulties coming on you right now. Millions of people have lost their homes. People are getting sick left and right from the poisons your society is producing. And they're madly producing more and more poisons. Aspartame, GMO, I mean, go through just a list of all these things, these toxins that are being shoved into your environment. You know, foods don't have to be real foods. I mean, the studies are unbelievable. I mean, they're scary. And I could sit here and preach a gospel of fear, but where's the gospel of love? Are you learning to produce things differently? Are you learning to take care of one another differently? Somebody mentioned on, and I haven't had a chance to go through all my email. I've been up since before 5 o'clock, but, and some of you are listening to this at different time zones anyway. I've been up for hours and hours, but, I saw somebody talking about New Age because they saw some New Agey stuff in the network. Christians were considered New Age. I mean, they're seeing angels, right? Apostles are seeing angels. They're healing with their touch. They're laying hands on one another and healing. That's kind of New Agey, isn't it? They talk about, I mean, they were accused of being a death cult. The Christians were accused of being atheists. Why would they be accused of being atheists? That's another whole story. We won't get off on that tangent. But they were very spiritually, I mean, they had daughters who were prophesying. Daughters of men were coming up and they were prophesying things. And people were listening and saying, oh. Now, were they following those prophets or were they following the Holy Spirit inside themselves? And the prophetesses were just simply bearing witness to what people were beginning to realize. See, that's a big difference. Are you following your prophets or are you following the Holy Spirit? When I talk about history and the law, you know, and somebody says, oh, you got all this fancy stuff, you know, the Constitution is simple. The Constitution is pretty simple, but simple-minded people can't understand it. They think that their rights come, if you think your rights come from the Constitution, you don't understand the Constitution. If, you know, like Eric Holder, who we talked about in a previous program, is saying that parents don't have a fundamental right to teach their children at home. Certainly they do. He's a liar. He's not telling the truth. Now, you as parents may not have a fundamental right to teach your children at home anymore. And even the United Nations says that you have a, parents have a prior right to determine the kind of education that their children have. But you can lose access to that prior right if you give somebody else the responsibility of raising your children. WIC, food stamps. If the government has to put the bill, even though they do so by exercising authority over your neighbor and forcing them to contribute, they're not your kids anymore. You only get the right when you exercise the responsibility. Well, how can I get by without help from the government? It's because you're no longer the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. You're the government of the bureaucracy, for the bureaucracy and by the bureaucracy. And the bureaucracy is men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other in contrary to what Christ said. And you went that way because you were a selfish pig, and that's why you're in the mire that you're in today. Repent. Admit it. Change. And that change is not going to take place overnight. You're going to have to stop being selfish. You're going to have to start being unselfish. You're going to have to start being forgiven. Let them have their money. Pay your tally of bricks. Start gleaning in the field at night for your straw. Start setting that table to the Lord with your extra time and energy, with sacrifice and service one to each other. The person went on to say, in argument against my fancy history and law, which is not all that fancy, it's just what it is. It says, it ain't faith, hope, and charity when the money is plundered from your pockets by, what did they say? Did they say the word government here? Yeah, by government. Money's not plundered from your pockets. It's not plunder, it's tribute. You've been slothful, and the slothful should be under tribute. The Bible tells you that. Old Testament. All you Jews out there, all you Muslims out there, all you so-called Christians out there, the Bible says the slothful shall be under tribute. You've been slothful. You should be under tribute. And you should pay those taxes because you've been the wicked and now you're being punished by the governments that were designed to punish the wicked because you were wicked. Now, how were you wicked? You weren't taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. You weren't gathering together in a network of love for one another. You're not doing it now when you go to your churches for whatever reason you go, because the music's good, or because it makes you feel good, or because you think you want to think that God loves you. God hates the Nicolaitan. He hates the Arabellum. What is the Nicolaitan? The conquered people. How are they conquered? Well, they're conquered by Pharaoh. They weren't conquered because Pharaoh came in with chariots and stuck a sword to their neck. He came in with benefits and said, hey, I'll take from your neighbor, force them all to contribute so you can have free education. You said, okay, I'll force your neighbors to contribute and you can all have health care. Okay, I'll force your neighbors to contribute and you can all have a really good fire department. Okay. You're denying the power of God's way. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power of God's way. What's the power of God's way? He could have provided all those things through faith, hope, and charity, through the hearts of those that love him. All those things could have been provided, but you did not believe in the power of God. You believed in the power of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You have taken the name of God in vain in your churches. And I don't want to pick on individuals, but Billy Graham is just as guilty as his son and I don't know, you name the others. What is it? The 700 Club? Just as guilty? I might as well. I'm going to be hated by them all anyway. Name me some of the Pope. Hey, there you go. Just as guilty. They're all just as guilty because they have perpetrated the lie that you need these governments taking from your neighbor or you cannot have the benefits of a free society. Well, you maybe can't have the benefits of a free society because you will not contribute. What's happened now is that your societies have become a breeding ground of selfish, slothful, vengeful, angry, self-absorbed people that when you try to stop those benefits, they will rise up and try to kill you. There will be riots in the streets. You cannot, if you were to free everybody in the world today, we're not going to force anybody anymore to contribute to the welfare of our society. Everybody has to go back to faith, hope, and charity today or next week. We'll give you a week to get ready. And after that, no more welfare checks, no more unemployment checks. Well, unemployment's a little bit different, but really, you want to get away from employment entirely. That's what brought you into bondage. That we're going to start working everything out with fear and trembling. We're going to live by faith. We're going to do this across the board. We're going to do this. You would have absolute total chaos and mayhem. You need those governments. Those are the governments of the wicked, for the wicked, by the wicked. The selfish, the self-absorbed, the self-righteous. They need those governments. But if you have a repentant heart and actually want to do what Christ said, what Moses said, what Abraham said and did, You need to become that alternative society, that alternative parallel society that provides education amongst themselves through faith, hope, and charity. That means mostly homeschooling, but you can actually start private schools within your congregational limits. Homeschooling is the best, but you can have what I would really envision is everybody's homeschooled, but those homeschoolers gather together maybe once a week or once a month for a day or two, and they do things together. They challenge one another, maybe. You know, have little quizzes with each other. Somebody is actually calling me during the radio program. And I know who it is. I saw who it was. He must have forgot I'm on the radio. But anyway, and now he's calling on the other number. But anyway, it isn't faith. It isn't hope. It isn't charity. The way you're living now. It isn't what Christ wanted. It isn't what God designed. It's what you've designed. It is the image that you serve. An image based on a spirit of force and violence. That is what you have designed for yourselves. You can't get away from that by signing papers or by expatriating or any of those things. You can only get away from that when you purge your own heart of the selfishness that has brought you to the totalitarian's door, where you are kept, where you are held under the plunder of tribute. The only salvation for this society is the way of Christ, which is the way of Moses, which is the way of Abraham. So whether you think you're a Muslim or think you're a Christian or think you're a Jew or think you're a New Ager, if you don't start loving your neighbor as yourself, which means stop coveting your neighbor's goods, start caring for your neighbor through faith, hope, and charity, start coming together, seeking the righteousness of God. Now, if you come together in our congregations, the core is Christ. It is His doctrines that are the doctrines of His church. No other words, but His doctrines. Now we'll translate them into English and Spanish and what have you the best we can, but you can go back to the early Greek as well, or Hebrew, but in the Peshitta or whatever, but basically it's His words only, or His doctrines only. That's it. That's His church. Anybody who has any other written document other than Christ's written documents, according to the earliest scriptures that we can find, is not His church. It's somebody else's opinion. It's their private interpretation. And they're creating some sort of social group or religious group or whatever, whether it's Episcopalian or Lutheran or Methodist or Catholic or whatever. And if they're not taking care of their needy through faith, hope, and charity, that's another sign that it's not Christ. They are not following the sacred scriptures. If they have any appearance of coveting their neighbor's goods, desiring their neighbor's goods, sweat, toil, whatever, for the purpose of their welfare, by asking men who exercise authority to provide those benefits, then that's not Christian. That's not following Christ. It's not His church. And it is anti-Christ. It is going the opposite way that Christ said. Now that puts a lot of churches and a lot of religionists and a lot of Bible thumpers and seekers over here in the realm of the prophets of the beast. Because that is the nature of the beast, to take from your neighbor. To devour your neighbor through legal taxes so that you can have benefits And what should have been for your welfare then becomes a snare, and then you find yourself in a bondage, a surety for debt. You are not a keeper of the Sabbath. I don't care what day you pick your Sabbath. Sabbath is about debt. It's about working 6 days and earning your rest. You didn't earn your rest. You went into debt. You had your benefit before it was paid for. And now you have to pay for your benefit with tribute. Pay for the interest on the debt with tribute. That's the way it was designed. And you didn't see that coming because it wasn't written in your heart. Now, that's great to know. That's good news to know the truth. Because now you can repent and turn around and go the other way. So what does that repentance look like? You know, there's only two powers, or let's say manifestations of power, that you need to reverse this entire process and find liberty and freedom. Two. That's all you need is two. You only need two laws, and you got all the laws. So what are those two manifestations of power that will set you free from all the bondage of the world? All the bondage. Because we're talking about governmental bondage. There's all kinds of relationship bondage. If you get angry, you're in bondage. If you're afraid, you're in bondage. And many of you have heard me say this over and over again. Fear and anger, same thing. Same exact thing. You know, heads I win, tails you lose. Fear, I win. Tails you lose. Fear, I win. Anger, you lose. Whatever. Anger, you lose. Fear, I win. You know, the old Billy Budd story, Claggett. If he gets you angry, you lost already. They love to get you angry. They got you. They're bringing you into bondage with your anger. Anger draws you into the dark side of the force, Luke. Don't you know that? These are truths. You can find truth everywhere. In the Quran and Star Wars. In any of these things. It's around you all the time. We keep stumbling over it and going on with the lie. We got to turn around to go with the truth. And turning around means doing something and now for something completely different. To go another way. And that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of the show is what that way looks like for you on the ground in a practical sense every day. In your relationships with husbands and wives and fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and brothers and sisters and Texans and Californians and Congregationalists and Kingdomites, you know. Kingdomites, that's a new word. I don't know if I've ever used that before. It's kind of like Marmite, you know. But are you seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are you seeking to be ruled by God? That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the right to be ruled by God. You don't have the right to be ruled by God because you have contracts, covenants, and constitutions and obligations and everything else that you have created. The keys to the kingdom of heaven is what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That is the key to the kingdom of God. You have been binding yourself by your benefits that you've been taking at the expense of your neighbor and debt. Now you want to loosen that. You have to have another spirit in you. You have to have another way that you're following. That is the key to the kingdom. What does that way look like? So that you may know you're on the path to liberty under God. We'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about sacred scriptures, which includes the Bible, Old and New Testament, Christ is always quoting from the Old Testament. Paul is always quoting from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was saying the same thing that Christ and John and Jesus was saying. Moses and Jesus were in agreement. There is no difference between what one was saying and what the other one was saying. There is a great difference between what we think Moses was saying and Abraham was saying and what Jesus was saying. And therefore we say Jesus is doing something different. The blood of Jesus and the flesh of Jesus that we are to consume is the character of Jesus. The Holy Scripture needs to be written on our hearts and on our minds. And there's a lot of people that memorize and memorize and memorize the Holy Scriptures, but it's never written on their hearts. It's not even really written on their minds, just the words. The words are the letter. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. The Scriptures tell you that. But what does that mean? How do you know if you're having life? How do you know if you are being born again or just having an emotional experience to imagine and worship the idea that you have changed while you still remain the same? That would be a great strategy of Satan to make you think, surely now you will not die. I mean, that's what he said in the garden, surely you will not die. And now that you've had your emotional altar called, you say, I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and surely now I will not die. But you will die, because you are dead already, because you haven't really changed. You haven't really repented. You haven't really turned around. You have created a Christ like building a graven image, and you believe in that creation of your own mind and thinking, or often with the help and assistance of some other religious group. But have you changed? Are you going another way? Are you still praying to benefactors who exercise authority to obtain benefits for yourself and your family? Praying, applying, same thing. Beseeching, asking. Men who call themselves benefactors but actually only give you what they've taken away from others. That is a surefire sign you have not yet repented. Surefire. Guaranteed you have not yet repented. Maybe because you have not yet been told, but now you're being told. So now you have to repent. So how do you do that? How do you turn around? How do you go another way? You know, I wrote this one individual who thought my words were so fancy. Once you cross the line of coveting your neighbor's goods so that you could get free education or any benefit or any welfare, there was no going back. You were caught in a current of deceit and self-deceit and destruction. And your government could only go one way. Your life could only go one way. Until you admit your error and folly, and be willing to turn around and go the other way. Like the prodigal son, he had to admit he did wrong, and that had done foolishly, and that he needed to go back. Unless he admitted that, he wasn't going anywhere. He was going to stay there. He needed to admit that this is wrong. This is the crux of the problem in the world today, is that we have become Cains. We are willing to bludgeon our brothers to get our way, to obtain security. And as a matter of fact, those that point this out, you want to bludgeon even more, like me. Well, you know, if you do, there's nothing I can do about it. I have to tell you the truth. It says, now when every social welfare program and your leaders that rule your pockets take more and more and more and give you less and less and less, and you cry out and you whine to no avail, because God has already said, I'm not going to hear you in that day. I'm not going to hear you over and over again. I give you quote after quote after quote in the Bible. I will not hear you in that day, because you have chosen your Sauls and Caesars and Nimrods to rule over your neighbors so that you can be safe and secure socially. secure. I will not hear you. And you already see it. You see it unfolding right before you. More and more benefits they're saying you're going to get. You know, the same chart that showed a rise of people listening and looking at hisholychurch.org that I sent out to the network marks the same chart that I saw on the front page of Right to Life concerning euthanasia. The euthanasia rising I think it was in Oregon, just in Oregon. That's on the rise. And as far as people not believing in the Bible, more and more people believe in politics. They believe in government. They believe that government is their salvation. Even those that think the government is going the wrong way and they believe that the Constitution is their salvation. They believe that the Constitution is their holy scripture. And they don't want to hear anything from the Bible because we're talking politics. We're not talking religion. Like the Bible doesn't talk politics. I mean, are you kidding me? You don't think that what Israel was doing in relationship to the Pharaoh and leaving Pharaoh had anything to do with politics? You don't think that had anything to do with politics? That had everything to do with politics. Moses was the rightful Pharaoh, but he wasn't going to force the contributions of the people. You know, I write on to this person, by the way, there is no place where you are compelled to pay tithes in the Bible. Tithes were the free will taxes of a government, of the people, for the people, and by the people. The Levites could not kick in your door and collect your tithe. They did not come to the door with a rod and say, you give me your tithes or I'll beat you. They were shepherds. You cannot beat a sheep into submission. You put out your staff and through trust it follows your lead. You tithe to them according to their service. The power is in your hand. You're kings and priests. That's the way it was designed from the beginning. You're not kings and priests now. You're slaves and servants. And you cannot change that with another willful act. You can only change that with a submission to the ways of Christ and start caring for one another in a parallel society of faith, hope, and charity. Are you willing to do that? Can you do that? The teachings of Moses, Abraham, and Jesus, they're not rocket science. It's not hard to figure out. I told you there are two powers that need to be manifested in your life. There are two laws. Only need two laws. In the United States, you have 100,000s of laws. In the kingdom of God, you got two. Love God, which is righteousness, a giver of life, a forgiver of sins. This is the nature of God. You know, the vengeful God they imagine was this vengeful God. They don't understand what is being said there in the Old Testament. Same God then, same God now. The fact that he won't hear you is because you haven't heard him. He wants to hear you. He even wants you to come back to the garden. He's left that cherub there with a light to show you the way, but you won't look at the way because in order to see that in that light, you must see yourselves as you really are, which is wicked and despicable people. Selfish, arrogant, proudful people. You have to see that. You're sinners. We say it. You have to see it. Even now that you've been born again and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're still out there coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. If I may say that one more time. I mean, I could say it shorter. You covet your neighbor's goods to the agency of the governments that you bow down and worship, and you do worship them. You seek them for your security and salvation in this world. The problem is they're not going to be there for you in the next world. You need to seek God's kingdom in this world for him to be there for you in the next. And you have to seek his ways and walk in his ways. So what are those two main ways in which you would manifest that power of God? Well, I'll hold you in suspense a little bit longer. Christ was political. Everything he said was affecting people's political relationships at the time. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. It's a political statement. Because at that time, Herod was saying, no, eat the flesh of your neighbor through a system of social welfare called Corban. I will force them to contribute, and there will be plenty of money in the treasury to take care of the needy of your society because of my system of Corban. The way you sign up is you get the baptism of Herod and his ministers, and they register you, idiotus. Once idiotus, now registered. In the scribes, by the scribes, for the scribes, the bureaucrats of his kingdom, the accountants of his kingdom. And you had to pay in, and they took care of the needy of their society. And that was the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. So if you want to repent of that, you have to create the Corban of Christ through a network of love that provides all those benefits to faith, hope, and charity in a way that strengthens the poor. That simple. But what's happened is now you believe in the religion of government, of the world, governments of the world. And we've talked about world before. You can look that up. But you have your creed. Did you know the United States government has a creed? Of course, it's a religion. Social Security is a religious program. It's how they take care of their needy of society, very much by the world. Pure religion is doing the same thing without the world. The constitutional order or system of governments of men that exercise authority one over the other. I believe in the United States of America as a government whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. Your consent is by application. A democracy in a republic, etc., etc. That is the beginning of their creed in the United States. That is your religion. That is your faith. Your religious ministers are the ministers of the Social Security Administration and welfare administrations, etc., etc. These are, and the gods are the judges who rule over that system. That's all exactly what Christ was dealing with in the context of Christ, except for he was anointed as king. He was proclaimed king by the people. He was proclaimed king even by Rome itself. And those that got his baptism instead of the baptism of Herod were cast out of one welfare system and went into the other. You have no other to go into, because you are not setting the table of the Lord. The ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of Christ, was setting the table of the Lord, was organizing the people into the tens, hundreds, and thousands, the 12 apostles, the 120 in the upper room, that could be the social welfare of a society living by faith, by hope, by charity. You haven't been doing that. You need to repent and start doing that. And when you do, you're going to come face to face with those two powers I spoke of before. What are those two powers? Two manifestations of power that give us our strength to overcome the wickedness of the world. What are they? They're the antithesis of what you think of as power, because your world is upside down and has been upside down for generation upon generation. You are not a part of the libera res publica, the free from things public of the kingdom of God. You are not a part of his republic, divine republic, where God rules in your heart, not some priestly class rules in your heart and tells you what you must do and what you must contribute, but a true loving republic. The term republic, res publica, signifies the state independently of its form of government. Levites were the government, but they had no power to compel the people to follow their ways. They were tied to according to their service. All the taxes were voluntary by free will offerings. Could such a society actually exist today? Only amongst those people who manifest the two powers of God. And I keep holding you in suspense. What are those two powers? What are those two powers of God that will set you free? Set you free in your relationships with husband and wife and father and son and all those relationships, and your relationship with your neighbor and your relationships with your community and the relationships with your society and the relationships with your governments. What are those two powers? Today, your leaders are not titular. You don't live in a republic. You live in a democracy within a republic, and it's an indirect democracy, and it's an indirect democracy in debt. You have gone back into the bondage. You do not need more theologies and philosophies, more religions, more doctrines. Christ's doctrines are enough. And he told you what those two powers are. And they are the mysteries of liberty. They are the secrets of life and death. They will set you free. And they are the powers of forgiveness and giving. So simple. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. When you are forgiven, then God will hear your prayers. Until you are forgiven, God will not hear your prayers. And you will not be forgiven unless you forgive. I mean, how many times did he say, forgive that ye may be forgiven? Forgive us this day, give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those who trespass against us. You have to forgive to be forgiven. And you have to be forgiven to be given to. And you will not be given to unless you give to others. And when you are forgiven and Christ is in you, you will want to give to others. Unhesitantly. Can you imagine if you got together with thousands and thousands of people that want to forgive and give as the primary motivation of their lives? You could be free with those people. Without those people, you will not be free. You will not be free. You will not be free. So you have to turn around. You have to do something completely different. So what does that look like, forgiving and giving? Still pay your tally of bricks. Still pay into Social Security and work at the jobs that you're working at, but start gleaning in the field at night for your straw. Start coming together and creating a network of people who care about each other as much as you care about yourself. Not people who come together so that they can be free, but so that they can free others. And they want to free their enemies as well as themselves. They are not selfish. They are purging their hearts of selfishness. Judge Leonard Hand wrote, "Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies there, no constitution, no law, no court can save it. Liberty is something you must want for others as much as you want for yourselves." You need to look at all things anew. You need to come together. And that's what the Living Network is about. It's an opportunity to come together. It's not an opportunity to be on an email group and get email posts and ponder about things. If you are not striving daily to be a part of a community of congregations that are seeking to serve one another, help one another, sacrifice for one another. And where does that begin? It begins in the home. You need to forgive one another. You need to be walking vessels full to the top of forgiveness. Alicia, one of my daughters, sent something on the Facebook. Shows a picture of a glass. It's filled up halfway with water. And then it shows a little bracket. And it shows the rest of the way. It's filled the rest of the way with air. She says all glasses are full. It's not half empty. It's not half full. It's all full. They're all full. They're full of water and air and whatever else you put into it. What are you full of? Are you full of forgiveness? Are you full of giving? Where there is not enough giving, there needs to be an abundance of forgiveness. When there's not enough forgiveness, there needs to be an abundance of giving. You need to start giving, unconditional giving, so that you can learn forgiveness. you need to learn forgiveness so that you can learn to give. People who often have failed to forgive will give too much. They will give to weaken others. They will enable weakness in others by their giving because they have not forgiven enough. Someone in their past, someone in their present even, usually it's in their past, they have not forgiven. And so they will bring about, they will enable the same weakness they would not forgive in others in their own sons and daughters because they have not forgiven their fathers and their mothers. They will recreate the same thing they think they are escaping. If you do not forgive Pharaoh, that's right, forgive Pharaoh, you will create Egypt in the desert. You will manifest the character of those that you will not forgive because they remain in you. And you will create and recreate that which remains in you. If you wish to purge your heart of evil, you must forgive it. Let God be the judge. You see, this is the secret of liberty, is forgiveness and giving. And the only reason you congregate together is so that you can practice forgiving and giving and see when you fail to forgive and give so that you may repent of that as well and forgive and give some more. But it's your choice. Your choice is, will I see and seek? Will I seek and see? Or will I close my eyes and hide from the truth of my own failings? You must see your failings to change and be changed. You cannot change yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot invent a government that will save you. You do not know how to invent a government to save you until you repent of your sin, which is a sin of selfishness, a sin that makes you desire to rule over your neighbor, rule over your wife, to rule over your husband. To make him do it the way you want him to do it. To make her do it the way you want her to do it. You cannot do that. You must set everyone free. If you wish to be free yourself. You must forgive debt. You must forgive abuse. You must forgive the lies. You must be filled up with forgiveness and giving. And let those two blend together in righteousness for others equally as for yourself. You must love your neighbor as yourself. This is what this means. And it means that, okay, you don't have kids that need homeschooling. You need to work together with a congregation so that everybody in that congregation can homeschool. Congregational schooling. It takes a village. No, it takes a congregation. And a congregation of congregations, which is a village. But it takes one with the Holy Scriptures written in their hearts. Not just their memorization, not the flesh and blood memorization, but the Spirit of holiness written in their hearts and in their minds by the hand of God. Not by me, not by the Pope, not by Billy Graham, not by... I don't know all the other farewell, but by God himself. And that's what we seek. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.